We now join the Dexter Day pulpit program in progress.
He's nuts. I don't think there's any question in my mind that he's nuts. And that occurred to me the first time someone had told me he was talking to himself or he was performing these voices. Now, that's how I took it. Now, I know a lot of people have probably been similar in their observation, but when I heard him, and I thought it was a comedy show of some kind, there wasn't any doubt in my mind because these different voices I heard, which I assumed were actors, were coming out of him. I have been a church missionary. I was a church missionary for American Abdicon and for the Arielites in Missouri before coming to the West Coast. And I had observed, as a missionary in Africa, all manner of people talking in tongues. And the first comment I suppose someone is going to make to me is, Dex, you have to not get too far afield here. Is he possessed? Well, the answer to that thing is no, but I would ask you to be a bit more broad-minded or open-minded about something. What causes a man to talk in other voices than his own over, well over 80% of the time on his presentation? What causes that? That can't be sane thinking. We're living in a time where we don't know what is behind an awful lot of the media presentations that we're consuming. You don't have to subscribe to the theories revolving around QAnon. You don't have to subscribe to those theories, but if you reject those theories, you're still faced with the realities that we have every day, and one of them is this man's presentation, Phil Hendry. And while some are amused, and some are befuddled, and some are maybe outright bored, and some are dismissive, then there's Dexter Day, myself, and others, who want you to take it one step beyond, like the old television show used to say, go one step beyond. Go into a comfort area. Go into a place that's not your comfort area and consider that the man you're hearing is not a performer or not a particularly skilled performer. He is, in point of fact, working in a fractured reality. And to put it more bluntly, he is the definition of mentally ill or insane. When you have no relation to reality, the reality that we all live in, you know what I mean, but to all demonstrate, we all know what a green light looks like. We all drive through a green light, and when we see a red light, we all stop. How do we know that is the case? All you have to do is go into the world and see the numbers of cars, people, and so forth, responding to the red light. So they're all stopped. And you might say to me, well, Dexter, how do you know when you see all those cars stopped for a red light that it's not just your mind seeing that? And I would say, all right, why don't you come with me? What do you see? You might lie to me and say, I see a green light and all the cars are going through. And then I have to say, well, are you kidding? And you'll say to me, perhaps trying to push the joke as much as you can, you might say, no, I'm not. I really see. And I'll say, all right. If those are green cars, not green cars, if it's a green light, let me take you up here to the crosswalk. And you might say, no, you're not going to take me anywhere. I'm going to stand right here. But I have to demonstrate to you my reality. The reality I see are cars that are stopped. And you're saying it's a green light. Yes. All right. Let me take you to the cars that I see that are stopped, and I'll put you in front of them. What would you say to me? No, you're going to kill me because those cars are moving. And I'll get frustrated because that's what you see, that's the goal. The goal is to frustrate the sane with an insane presentation, an insane read of reality. And I'll know that, though, and I'll say to you, no, you're coming with me. I'm going to put you in front of that car. Now what would you do? You might start screaming, calling for a police officer. And what would that do? That would anger me or enrage me, and I might, any one of us might, I might grab you by the hair or the back of the, and force you up to that street where those cars are stopped. And then I would push you right in front of what you think are moving cars, but no, they're stopped. Now here's where it gets tricky. And this is why we all, as we look at people like Hendry, Phil Hendry, who manipulate our reality on a regular basis, you have to understand what can happen. I take you, I push you in front of cars that you say are moving rapidly, and I say, no, they're stopped. And when I push you in front of those stopped cars, guess what happens? The light turns green, and you have to either get hit by a car or you come running back to the sidewalk, and what do you say? You say, look at what you did. You almost killed me. Now, what do I do? In as calm a manner as I possibly can, I'll say, no, as soon as I pushed you out in front of those stop cars, the light turned green. And you have to believe me because I am telling the truth. I'm there. The reality is there. You and you may be looking over my shoulder and you're sharing my reality. You can't say anything because you were sort of removed from it. But I'm trying to tell this person who swore up and down the cars are moving, and you can see they're stopped, and when I push him in front of those stopped cars, the light turns green, and the guy's almost run over again, and now he's standing next to me, cursing up a blue streak, right, telling me I almost killed him, telling me that I'm insane, that I'm mentally disturbed, and I'm getting angrier and angrier. And my next thought, and I think it's extreme, but I think it's probably where a lot of us go, is I want to put my hands around your throat, and you start screaming, he's insane, he's a crazy man, get him, take him and put him on billet him in a hospital or in a hospital tent of some kind, wherever you may be, wherever the hospital facility may be, not you, but see. Now I find myself strapped down on a cot because my timing was wrong. Just as I pushed you out in front of those stop cars, the light turned green and they started to move. Now, what do you do? What do you do there? You make application to the hospital and explain to them, when I pushed him out in front of those cars, they were stopped dead. It was only as I pushed him in front of the cars that they began to move. And you know as well as I do, the doctor's going to humor you and say, oh, really? And that's when you have to be very clear. You have to say to the doctor, don't you mess with my mind. I'm telling you the truth. Be very clear. Be very direct. My name is Dexter Day. When I pushed that man in front of those cars, they were stopped dead. And then the doctor interrupts you and says, yes, but then, and you have to be very strong. You say, shut your mouth. I'm not fish. Well, you can see how. You have to be very scared. I've dealt with this all my life. Now, I'm dealing with it again. I turned on my computer, trying to escape the noise, the claptrap of the news cycle. And I found the Phil Hendry Show. I had no idea what this was. I saw a description. It said General so-and-so, or this man, this Ted of Beverly Hills, he did this or that, or somebody, I can't remember, but a lot of it was some of it was borderline crude. Somebody got raped while they were holding balloons. Very, very strange. I said, well, I've got to listen to this because if for no other reason, it might be something that I need to report to the factor and have them then advise. Because each and every night, I'll go before the altar and kneel and pray to the factor And the factor in this case, if you're just joining us, is not Bill O'Reilly. The factor is factor A, or factor one. That is the prime creative factor that is supporting us. Do you call it God? Good for you. I don't. I wouldn't call it God, because it's not an intelligent being. God is an intelligent being. The factor is a rule. It has no emotional life. It's simply a law. You might as well be praying to a sign that says no smoking, hoping that it will turn into a smoking sign. Well, you don't do that. With the factor, you acknowledge. You acknowledge, you acknowledge. And generally, you're acknowledging, I am going to go back out into the world. I'll probably get my rear end kicked around again. But as long as I apply this factor, which is, I know for a fact that it's pretty, that I got my thing together. I know for a fact, for instance, those cars were stopped dead. Now, I might be in a hospital tent, or I might be tied to a cot. I might be in front of a sanity hearing. I might be in front of a parole board. I might be in front of a police officer. It doesn't matter. I know for a fact that those cars were stopped. The whole world may be against you. You know what you saw. And all the rest of the world is telling you, no, the cars started to move. The cars were moving. And you'll say, I know they started to move when the light turned green. And what do? They scratch some part of their body and go, ha, 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 ha. And nothing is more enraging when one is trying to live one's life in accord to the factor. The ha, ha, ha is our enemy. Because when you hear that, you gear up. I'm not saying anything that having to do with firearms, but you do want to have a good, strong bat, a good, strong piece of metal that you can just swing freely as you walk through a crowd. Because at that point, you're saying, okay, all of you people are insane. I know for a fact the cars were stopped. Get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. You're waving the piece of metal. You know, the time is, it's only going to be a matter of time before a PR-24 or some kind of a billy club being wielded by a police officer or a law enforcement officer stuns you from behind and you are laying flat and you wake up tasting cement. You know that that's going to happen. As you are swinging this piece of metal, perhaps striking people, it doesn't matter, you have to be committed to it. Even if you're hitting elderly women, you know how this world is. Those elderly women that you're seeing, they're elderly women. The rest of the world is seeing a 6'8" stevedore. But you know it's an old lady, and this is your chance to beat. Well, I'm going to take a break right now. My name is Dexter Day. You're listening to Pulpit on the Phil Hendry website.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by
Seymour's Hot Air Balloon Rides. There's nothing like getting up, up, and away in a Seymour hot air balloon. I'm Seymour Justifoy, and I'll take you riding through the desert, over the mountains, down through the hills and the dales, along the beaches, and enjoying your life, maybe for the very first time, in a Seymour hot air balloon ride. Bring your loved one. It can be a woman or a man. We are not worried about any sex going on in the balloon itself. The bucket's very small, but Seymour's Hot Air Balloon Ride, you never had it so good.
Seymour's Hot Air Balloon Rides.
Call Seymour now.
Tell him you need that. You need it a lot.
A lot of people, once they get up there, want me to push them out of the bucket. No, I won't do that. Although, we do have special rides for those of you who are daring, who think, yeah, I can leap from a hot air balloon and land on my feet and go, no fuss, no muss. Really? Try me.
Seymour's Hot Air Balloon Rides in Suckabee, California.
You made me think you cared for me. And I believe in you.
Well, the summer months are upon us, and you're going to want to make sure that your central air is serviced. Call me, Rip Morium. Rip Morium Central Air Service for the South Coast, Central Coast, and parts of the Northern Coast. It's going to be hot this summer. I know you live on the beach, and you get a lot of that cool beach air, but it's going to be blazing hot.
I feel it will be, because it was such a cold and wet winter. I feel that the summer may be almost apocalyptically hot. Well, what does that mean? I think you'll survive, but I think you'll have to sleep outdoors a number of nights. You may lose a pet. But me, Rip Murian, I'll come over and make sure that that air conditioner works. It'll be working at its optimum, and yet it won't be enough. Rip Murian's Central Air Service. Rip Murian. In Snuggle Park.
You dragged and dragged.
And now back to Dexter Day's pulpit on the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. I'm listening to the commercial of the man saying, "We'll have apocalyptic heat this summer. Call me and I'll come over and I'll service your air conditioner, but it won't do any good." Does that sound crazy to you? No, because you always want to make sure that everything in the house is working. I'll give you an example. And this is why we can't trust others. The reality as you and I know it, we know the reality. The green light, the cars go. The red light, the cars stop. We know that that's what's happening. Someone comes up to you and says, "No, but the light wasn't green, it was red." You got to back up one step. As we always tell you, back up one step, smile, then wheel about. You have to wheel about on one heel and stride away confidently, your arms swinging at your side. That way you don't attract any attention. But in your mind, you know that you have just met one of the, shall we say, one of the owned, one of the Kool-Aid drinkers. These are all terms that come and go. But in pulpit, we refer to them as the automatic man. Women, small children, they're all the automatic man. Push a button and you see the mouth open and close. Something's coming out of it. It doesn't matter what it is. That's the automatic man. He may be saying, "Hey, look, President Trump just lied today." Don't let it affect what you're needing to do today. Today. I don't have much time left. I can't even remember, as I sit here right now, I can't remember what it was I was just talking to you about as we came out of the commercial break. I know we were talking about the heating and central air man who said it's going to be apocalyptic this summer. But I think the point that I'm trying to make is, even as your home burns to the ground, let's just say the worst case scenario, your home is burning to the ground, but there are dishes to do in the sink. You go and you wash those dishes. You know. I know too. You go over to that sink and you, even as the home is burning, hot timber and hot cinders are dropping around you, you make sure those dishes are washed and put in that dry rack. You hang the towel very delicately and in a proper order. You pick up your briefcase and you stride directly out the front door. Even if the hallway you have to walk down is burning and is filled with flame, you walk through that flame. Now you'll come through that front door, striding but smoldering. That's right. This is what we mean by pride. This is what we mean by handling the reality. This is what we mean by I won't let myself be swayed by these liars that are telling me something's happening when I know for a fact something else is happening. I'm going to go down that hall. It's full of flame, but I know it's not there. And as I walk out my front door with my home burning behind me, my suit black and smoldering, my skin blackened, I'm striding confidently, one arm in front of the other. I reach probably 20, 30 feet from my front door and then collapse. And I'm laying there, flames coming off of me, and someone puts me out. What just happened? That's Dexter Day, or it could be you. That's us saying yes, yes, yes to reality, no to your fake, phony take on this world we live in. I had a piece of mail from a Mrs. Albrighton who asked, "Well, why would you walk through the flames
when they'll burn you and you'll go outside and you'll die smoldering. I didn't answer. Why? Because I knew where it was coming from. I knew who had sent it. You do too. We won't allow any of that to deter us. You're listening to Dexter Day, and this is Pulpit here on the Phil Hendry Show website.
Joe Gonad Lemonade is the sponsor of this portion of Pulpit on the Phil Hendry Show website. Joe Gonad Lemonade. I was in the mental institution. Now I'm not anymore.
Joe Gonad Lemonade. He was inside, but he's out long enough to make you the tastiest lemonade you've ever had.
Joe Gonad Lemonade, even though I killed many people, I'm committed to your refreshment.
Joe Gonad Lemonade, made from the finest lemons here in Ventura County. Just go down to your store and say, Joe Gonad Lemonade. Nothing else will do. Either Joe's here in front of me in 5 seconds, or I turn this place into a campfire.
Joe Gonad Lemonade. God. Oh, God.
Joe Gonad Lemonade in the handy 12-pack. Do I sound depressed? No, I'm just sick and tired that people don't yet recognize what a fantastic product Joe Gonad Lemonade is. This is Greg Suckins speaking.
Greg Suckins suck.
That's why I stopped doing these commercials, because he's a mental midget and an imbecile, but his lemonade's good. I can't deny that.
You suck.
Come here for a minute, Joe.
What?
I just hit myself, folks. I didn't hit Joe. I wouldn't hit someone who's a metal midget.
You made me.
Just a reminder to get that central air fixed. You must get your central air fixed. Rip Moorman is here to help you fix that central air, but I can't do it unless you call me. Call me, I'll come in, I'll fix your central air, even though this coming summer could be record-breaking heat. It could get so dry that houses spontaneously combust.
I played my heart.
Rip Moorman's Central Heating Service. They're in the Yellow Pages. Hello, I certainly hope you're having a good day. My name is Dexter Day. This is Pulpit on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website. We're talking about the ever-increasing challenges to those of us who have absolute clarity of vision, know exactly what is happening, know exactly what we need to do next, and we're surrounded by those who are insane. Insane. What do we do? Our message has always been, commit to the reality. Commit to what is real. When you see me smile, right now I'm smiling, and I'm looking, I feel like I can see you, I'm smiling. And if you come to our Pulpit gatherings and you see me stand out front after the gathering smiling, you know what I'm actually saying is, you understand me, don't you? Now, we've gotten teenagers, and we've gotten some of the younger people, the middle schoolers. They love to wear their baseball caps backwards, and they sit there eating their gummy bears, and I'll be smiling, and they'll walk up to me because they've had no proper training, and they'll say, Dexter. And I'll say, Dexter, not Mr. Day. And they'll say, Dexter. That's when I know I've got myself a real wise apple. And they'll say, you're mentally unsound. And I'll say, have your gummy bears and go and masturbate behind a barn, because you're the enemy. You're the enemy. And I know what reality is, and I know that what I'm saying is reality. You are here to reject reality and make everything in this world lousy. So have your gummy bears, go behind a barn or a shed or whatever you do, and masturbate to the naked pictures that you find on the internet that some horrible old man or woman sent to you. And it might have been me. It might have been me. Because I have my reality constantly manipulated, as you do too. And I'll get an email from a perfectly legitimate email from an older woman saying, I enjoy your program, Mr. Day. Here's a picture of me naked. Would you send me one of yourself? She's an older woman. She's my age. Of course I do. And what do we find out? That she went and passed it on to a teenager who then posted online with a gigantic finger pointing at it saying, here's Dexter Day of the program Pulpit. What a pervert he is. Then they hunt me down at my weekly lectures, as I stand out in front of the lecture, smiling, waiting for people who understand me. And he'll say, you're mentally disturbed, Mr. Day. And I'll say, aren't you just so smart with your turned-around baseball cap and your pants hanging down? And he'll say to me, what are you talking about? No one pulls their pants down like that anymore. And that's when I say, really? Well, watch this. Ah, there you go. That's how you shatter their reality. In order for us to constantly be in touch with reality, we have to shatter theirs. So when this, forgive my language, when this punk kid who's trying to manipulate our reality toward the other side says to me, I don't pull my pants down. What are you talking about? Like one of them did last week following our lecture over here at Overton Hall. I said, well, watch. And I pulled my pants all the way down below my buttock. Oh, yes, I expected a police officer. We're surrounded by this kind of unfairness and injustice. And there was the police officer saying, why are your pants pulled down? I said, because I'm trying to neutralize his reality. Now, the police are among the least intelligent of all human beings walking the face of the earth. So when whatever it is you do requires that a police officer be called, expect that injustice will be delivered unto you, and you will wind up in a holding cell or in jail. That's what we're fighting right now. That's what we're fighting right now. So I urge you to be listening regularly to the Dexter Day Pulpit series on how to speculate as to whether or not what you're seeing is real. We are blessed. We live in a great time. We've got high economic output. We've got employment going through the roof. We've got people have more money than ever before. Large automobiles drive down the avenue. Convertible large automobiles with the large fins. These are all signs that the goodness of the factor is manifesting. When you see a large automobile with large, gigantic fins and the big, giant headlights, you know what I mean, and a smiling man with sunglasses. I saw that the other day. And I got up and I just said, I don't know what I said, really. I just got up and I held my hands up in the air and someone asked me, are you a Christian? And that almost destroyed my mood, but I wouldn't allow it. I wouldn't allow it. I just kept saying, as we all should when we feel reality is being wrecked around us, I just said, go away from me. Go away. Go away before I hurt you. Go away before I hurt you. Go away. Go away. Go away. And they kept talking, but I saw the big car with fins, a man with white teeth and sunglasses driving it. And I said, that is reality. And the California license plate on it. And a beautiful blonde girl with a bandana driving and careening down Avenue. When that person came to me and said, are you a Christian? Suddenly I saw that big car veer up onto a sidewalk and run over a five-year-old. And I looked at the person who had bothered me and I said, you're a murdering... I forget all the choice words I used. I said, you're a murderer. And they laughed and looked at me, and they were eating what looked like candy corn. You know as well as I do, there's nothing that infuriates or maddens anyone, myself included, like someone staring at you with slightly buck teeth, eating candy corn out of a bag, the eyes wide, as if you're nuts. As if you're nuts. These are hard times to live in, but as I said, we have prosperous times, and there right before me was the large American-made convertible with big fins, large headlights, big car, a man with sunglasses and a white smile, white gleaming smile, and the girlfriend with the hair pulled back, and they were singing or making some kind of... I just knew it was going to be all right. And I said, yeah, yes, yes, yes. And this person, oh, are you a Christian? Because I had my hands up. I said, why would you say that to me? You've ruined everything. And when he said that to me, then the big car careened up onto a sidewalk and took out a newspaper rack, ran over a 5-year-old. Yeah. Yeah. I saw the kid's body just bounce up in the air and just bounce down the street. Like it was some kind of inflated... one of those things, you've seen the games that people play, and some of the round things don't bounce. This is an inflated round thing. It goes up and down. It was like it was one of those. It could be, what do they call it, game? Basket. Or the other one. As if someone was playing a game of basket and this round thing, only it was a 5-year-old kid. And I said to this lunatic, I said, "You've killed a kid." And they just kept on, you know, eating out of this bag of candied corn and nuts and peanuts. These are coated in a sort of a candy apple sugary confection. Everyone loves, I've eaten Cracker Jacks my entire life. Every single day of my life involves a box of Cracker Jacks throughout the day. This goes without saying. Before I administer my sermons, I'll say, "Where is it?" You know, and of course I've got a staff that sometimes they're on it and sometimes they're afraid because they've just walked down a hallway filled with flame and fire and they're still smoldering, barely able to stand, and I'll say, "Where is it?" And they'll say, "You're right," and with smoke pouring off of them, they'll go and get me a box of Cracker Jacks, and then they'll collapse and continue to smolder and burn. The next morning I'll come in, there's a pile of ash there. See, that's how it's supposed to be. I'm Dexter Day, and I don't know if I'm getting through to anyone. Dexter Day's Pulpit on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back. I'm Dexter Day. I'm not selling you a book. I'm not selling you a pamphlet. I'm not selling you anything. What I would ask you to do is come to my home and sit and have tea with me as I tell you about the amazing things the Factor has been telling me. No, it's not an intelligent being. The Factor is law. But this law is communicating to me each and every day how it's all going to roll out. Reality is as we make it. Please come to my home. I live at 1612 East Wallington, and that's in the town of Wattleby. You'll know where it is. Ask a police officer. He can direct you. Knock on the door 3 times like this. If I don't come immediately to the door, get off my property. Just get off my property. But if I come to the door, naturally, I'll want you to come in. But don't. I'll say, "Come on in," because I look as if I'm wearing clothes, but I won't be. Again, another reality test. Join Dexter Day at his home in Wattleby. Just go there. Just go there. You'll find the address online. If he's wearing clothes, he actually isn't. If he's not wearing clothes, he is. Right. Getting married? Whittleby's Bridal Shower Supplies is there 24 hours a day. The only 24-hour-a-day bridal shower supply store. Open all the time. If you need a veil, if you need a beautiful bridal dress, you need dresses for your maids of honor, or other supplies, go to Whittleby's Bridal Shower Supplies. And we supply bachelorette parties, too. We have the phone numbers of some of the great dancers, great singers, men who will keep their clothes on, sing to you, and make you feel like a woman for the first time in your life. Whittleby's Bridal Shower Supplies. What a great time to live. That reminds me, welcome back here to Dexter Day's Pulpit. It reminds me of being married. I was married once to a beautiful young lady who told me that she would love me forever. And I came home, and she was in bed with a sewer worker who had been working on the sewer line in front of our house, in the street in front of our house as I left for work. Was that reality? Yes, it was. What did I do? I said, "Hi, honey, can you make me some breakfast?" So she got out of that bed and came in and made me breakfast while I saw this sewer worker sneak out the side door after she said to him, "Don't worry, my husband is mentally disturbed." I laughed to myself because I could see exactly what was happening. That wasn't the reality. The reality was I wanted to see her in bed with a sewer worker so I could film it for my own personal enjoyment late at night. So I tried to manifest that somehow seeing it, you know, and
"So how are you doing?"
And who are you?
"I'm the nurse. I brought you in here to take your bath. You're not,
I'm talking to my audience."
"What audience?" Oh, that's right.
I'm Dexter Day. This is Pulpit on the Phil Hendry Show website.
That's right. They told me. Okay, well, you finish up. Is that what you're using for a microphone?
This is a microphone.
All right. It's actually the shower nozzle. You didn't see that.
Go away. Go far away.
Okay. I'll be back.
No, don't come back.
Well, I have to come back because I have to. You got to finish your bath. You've still got. Look at that. You haven't cleaned yourself up down there.
Don't bother me. Okay.
I'll be back.
I've got to go now because you can see, or maybe you didn't. Some of you are infected with every kind of perceptual problem, but what just happened was someone came in here and tried to deflect me from reality, saying that I'm somehow in a hospital and I messed myself and I haven't cleaned up and blah, 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 blah. You've been through it. You know what I mean.
While down on the South Sea Island,
this has been Dexter Day's Pulpit. The Phil Hendry Show endeavors to present all sides of the argument. Dexter Day has been working tirelessly over the last 40 years to bring to you what reality should be, what reality is, and what he's living in right now. I'm Dexter Day. You're probably listening to something you think is a man singing about Honolulu. What you're really listening to is a piece of Mozart, which I selected specifically for you. That's how befuddled and ruined your reality is. You think you're hearing a man singing about Honolulu. No, you're not. This is Mozart. This is Mozart. Yeah, are you? Don't come out of the booth and talk to me. You don't do that.
You know yourself. Honolulu, baby.
Even I can hear that's a man singing home. I know it's Mozart, but I'm listening to this fruit.
Dexter Day's Pulpit. We'll be back next week.
I didn't mean to say fruit. I did not mean that. Okay, would you shut him up? Shut up! Shut up!
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. This is Dexter Day. I know what's going on. Some of you are nodding your heads and you're saying, wow, did we ever pull the wool over his eyes? I know exactly what's going on. I do.